Are you the type of leader who wants to leave behind a legacy? Well, I'd love to help you unlock a legacy of excellence with the School Leadership Toolkit. For just $97, you'll gain access to 10 easy-to-implement resources, including templates, frameworks, and bonus content designed to help you manage your to-do list, make better decisions, navigate difficult conversations, and support your team. Fast-track solutions to your challenges by grabbing the toolkit at schoolsofexcellence.com/toolkit or click the link in the show notes. Elevate your leadership journey today. Welcome to the Schools of Excellence podcast, where we have conversations about education, leadership, and building a school of excellence. The goal on this show is to bring you clarity, uplevel your mindset, and give you practical strategies and inspiration so you can show up with confidence and trust your decision-making. I'm Chani Olshansky. I'm a mom of four under 10, a former New Yorker, and been in the early childhood field my entire life. And I'm so grateful that you've joined me for this conversation. Hello there, and welcome back to the Schools of Excellence podcast. Today, I sit down with Paige Kepner, who is a member of our Owners HQ program since 2020, right when the lockdowns happened back in March of 2020. My conversation with Paige goes in so many different directions, and I really enjoyed our dialogue where she shared a lot of the skills, the self-trust, the confidence that she has gained in herself, in the way that she leads her administrative team, in the way that she makes really difficult decisions that are more aligned with the company values. She talks a lot about how community and being part of the Schools of Excellence community has been a huge lifeline for her. There is so much gold in this conversation, from like systems that she's built and how she really leverages resources to help her become a better leader and make her school an amazing place. So I hope you enjoy my conversation with Paige Kepner.
My name is Paige Kepner, and I am located in Glen Allen, Virginia, right outside of Richmond. I have what I found to be a more common story in the space of childcare, where I bought it from my mom. So it is a family business, which in some ways is amazing and other ways has its challenges. And yeah, so it's a pretty large, we only have one center, but it is very large. It's got about 320 children, about 50 some staff members. So also, I did not realize that that was a very large center until I joined Hani's, until I joined your group. So that was like a whoa, I had no idea that it was as big as it was, because it's all that I had known. So I just really found myself in this place where I was a little bit overwhelmed and a lot of staff to manage, a lot of kids to manage, family stuff to manage. So yeah, that's kind of where I was back in 2020. My parents are snowbirds, so they actually live in Florida for the whole winter. And it was March of 2020. They were in Florida. We all thought it was just the flu at that point. And then all of a sudden, it was like March 17th. I remember something happened. One of our family members got at our school got really sick. And it just kind of like started to register that this was something bigger than anything that I'd probably been through. And it was starting to kind of kick in. And then we had to close. I think it was like March 20th. This was all over the course of a weekend. And I felt very alone. I felt that I was not, I don't know. I remember thinking like, why am I the one making this decision? Like, why are people trusting me to make this decision? This feels really, really scary. And, you know, I have hundreds of people's lives that I'm responsible for right now. It was very overwhelming. And I felt like I was just like, I felt like I was drowning. Like I literally had nightmares where I was trying to swim up and I couldn't get enough air fast enough. Like I truly was having nightmares about that. I just didn't know what to do. I read self-help books. I listened to different podcasts, but I think there was that personal connection, someone that actually I could talk to. And at least that's what I thought at the time. I needed like that personal connection, someone to talk to me one-on-one that would be helpful. And that's why I read one of your, I'll never forget this. I was sitting at the front desk and I read one of your emails, and the way that you write your emails is very different from anybody else. It's not as formal. It's more of like, which I love. It's like almost like a stream of consciousness sometimes, but it all flows nicely. And so I just felt like, yes, 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 you know, and then I filled out a thing. And next thing I knew, I was talking to you at the desk. So, because I was completely by myself, my kids, I had a 7-month-old or a 6-month-old. The school was empty. So it was just me and my two kids. My husband has a business that was in lawn care. So he was still working full time. So I set up my office in the infant room and did my best.
Yeah. So you had a 7-month-old baby. You also had an older, you have an older child also, right?
He was 5.
Yeah.
Yep.
And both of them were in your childcare, right? They were both coming to your school every day with you?
Yes, exactly. So they continued to come with me, but nobody else came. And we were only closed for 2 weeks, but I swear it felt like we were closed for 4 months.
I know. Anyone who I speak to during that time was like, we're only closed for 2 weeks. We're only closed for a month, but it felt like a year. It felt like forever because the responsibility during that season, every day that you were closed was eternity because the amount of communication that needed to happen and all of that was just so overwhelming. So let's talk a little bit, right? So you joined Schools of Excellence in 2020 and we've been on a journey, Paige. We've been on a journey. And so I'd love for you to just get started with when you first came into the program and you started to work through the foundations, which is all about time blocking and theme days and creating a calendar and really just understanding how to get control over your life. And then the gratitude matrix, which is the foundations of building a great culture. I'd love to hear about some of your first experiences in engaging with this type of resources, especially during that season.
Yes. So I think we lost about 60 to 70% of our enrollment in like 2 days. And so I was at the lowest of lows. So my confidence was not there. There was no such thing as confidence at that point. And it all felt, the magnitude of it all felt so big. I just felt so lost. And this program, or I guess you could call it program, this resource, first gave me bite-sized pieces that slowly built my confidence. So like I was able to focus on one thing, the website. Like it focused me into specific things that could make me better and the school better versus like, you know, these grandiose, big, huge ideas. It at that moment, it put me into the focus that I needed to be in, which in turn ended up building my confidence. But I needed that guidance and I needed somebody to hold me accountable. I needed someone to push me. And I liked being able to show that I had done X, Y, and Z to the group. You know, like, look what I did. This is so cool.
Sharing truly, wins when you posted that in right. the group. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, when I remember I did something with one of the other owners. We worked together on a project, which was very meaningful, but just the relationship that we built and just the back and forth conversations that we had was beyond helpful, you know, just those little tidbits that I caught here and there. So yeah, at the time, it was just the bite-sized pieces that ended up giving me confidence was what I really, really needed. And I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah, what Paige is referring to is the connection challenge, which we host like once a year or every once in a while, where we really connect members with other members who are in either a similar season of life or kind of just have a similar business model where they can really collaborate and connect, bringing like-minded people together, but also not just like-minded people, but really like a shared vision of like wanting to look for solutions and wanting to like be better and elevate their mindset. And so Paige, I connected with someone who at that time was just, again, both of you, like such a lifeline for each other. I love that you highlighted the part of just the bite-sized pieces, because many times when we join a membership or a specific program, there's so much content inside of there. But the way that we intentionally break it down in our learning portal is like, it's really step-by-step and almost the way we teach kindergarten, because I don't want you to be overwhelmed. The reason you came here is because you were overwhelmed. So the last thing I need to do is like give you more information and more overload where you're like, I don't even know where to begin. So I appreciate that you were able to digest the information in that way, because you know that was our intention. So I'd love to go a little bit deeper into I'd love to kind of turn into your leadership team, because you, over the course of the last couple of years, you really built a team that surrounds you in leading, you know, the school of this size. And so I'd love if you could share a little bit about how you built this team and also how you are supporting their leadership now with some of the new resources that you have, and just, again, the confidence, the mindset that you've been able to build over the last few years.
Yeah, so I think one of the activities that we did through your group was the roles and responsibilities, which ended up being extremely helpful for me, which that is a big picture thing. I mean, because you think like everything we do in the whole company, but again, bringing it down to those bite-sized pieces, which becomes more manageable. And then during that process, I realized, oh my gosh, there are so many responsibilities and that I'm giving to so few people. I no wonder we're all like drowning. And it took, you know, a couple years, but I'm finally at a place now where I have five people instead of two people. And it's much more manageable. People can take a deep breath. I also have the ability to support my directors the way that they need to be directed, like the way that they need to be supported, excuse me. Because I found beforehand, I was so inundated with my to-do lists and this needs to be done. Oh gosh, I didn't do that. That I never had time, I didn't have the emotional or any bandwidth to sit down and have a real conversation with them. Because I the whole time I was thinking in my head, oh, I need to do this, I need to do that. Now I really look forward to those conversations. And I'm constantly listening to podcasts or reading books that I feel like will help those specific directors. Like I have the time now and energy to not only have those conversations, but then to do the back work to have those conversations, which has just been life-changing because I can like really give everything to that relationship, which is so essential to the whole business, that support system. So yeah. And then in terms of what we learn and what we talk about in the group, every once in a while, pretty often, and I'm listening to other owners have conversations with you, something will spark in my brain. Oh yeah. You know, that could potentially happen with that teacher. Maybe I need to get in front of that. And then I'll hear the resource that you drop in that conversation and I'll just put it in my bank as like, okay, I'm going to have I have like a whole Hani note thing that's separated into different staff, directors. So I have this like bank of resources that I know it's not just on a piece, like I know that they're very valuable. They spark something in me so I can go back to them and they'll spark that again.
Yeah. Oh, I have so many questions from what you shared. Okay. So let's start with, because this is gold. Like this is what people, you know, need to hear to just remember that they're not alone, but also that there's actual real resources out there. So let's get started with you went from a team of two to a team of five. I know the first thing that people will always ask when they're listening to a conversation like this is like, but how did you afford it? How did you afford it in 2020 when like, you know, you lost 60% of your enrollment and there was, you know, just so much uncertainty. Like, where did you get the confidence and the self-trust to take that risk and make those investments? Because the bottom line is, it is a risk and it was an investment.
Yeah, I realized I couldn't afford not to. I mean, I know that sounds very, maybe a little cliche, but...
No, it's good.
It was either that or you're just going to continue to drown yourself and drown yourself. I needed to... I didn't want to have... asset. Sorry, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
But
I didn't want to say, okay, I have all these responsibilities that I'm looking at right now. And I can see a clear fit for certain people. And there was a part of me that wanted to be like, but that person could just take that and that and that. And like we'll just tag that onto that and that. Mm-hmm. And I totally could have done that. But then I know that would have been my default mode. That would have been Paige that is like, we'll make it work, you know, and that would not have been successful. Instead, I did take the risk and I'm so grateful because I did have to argue with my mom a little bit about it, you know, like it was expensive to invest in five versus two people, but the return is far outweighs the investment. The investment.
So let's talk a little bit about how you've created the mental space to be a strategic and intentional leader, right? So it's not just about that you've used the resources to create space and time to be able to enter these conversations and really lead your people, because we'll talk about accountability in a moment. I would love to hear more about, you know, when you come onto coaching calls, because a lot of misconceptions is like, oh, but it's a group call. And like, you know, but there's so much value in the group call, like you had shared. So I would love to hear kind of your experience on coming onto the calls, because you don't come onto every single one. But when you do, I know that you, you know, pull resources. And how, I love how you created your own way of documenting what you're hearing so that you know how to leverage it. So walk us through your system a little bit, because you've kind of created a little system for yourself.
Yes.
So let's talk about coaching first and then your system. Like, let's talk about the coaching call first.
Yes. So the coaching call, the most value I get in the coaching calls 100% comes from listening to you talk to other people, because I can hear your voice when I'm talking to my staff. It because the more, you know, the more that you listen to it, the more that you're around it, it just becomes part of your narrative as well.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that is where the value comes in it for me. I listen to other coaching podcasts just to try and get that going. And it's just not the same because it's not the same industry, right? So it's just so valuable listening to someone coach others in the same industry with the same problems, the same issues. So that's one huge, huge thing. And then, like I said, the other thing would be, yeah, getting those little nuggets, really, really big, good nuggets of information that I can like store away like a little squirrel for later.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, that
tell
I know
us
I can
about
come
this
back
system.
To.
I love your squirrel system. I think it's brilliant because I'll tell you why it was, because I do the same thing with my mentor, Todd. Like whenever I'm on calls and I hear certain things, I have a whole note on my phone that says Todd notes. And I pull inside of there as well for like messaging or different things that I need. So I love that you did this because I didn't know anyone else that does. So I'm actually curious how you use the system. I think this is brilliant.
So I'm not sure if you're familiar with the book, The Second Brain. I think that's what it's called.
No.
You should read it.
I will check it out. Yeah.
It's really good.
Okay.
It talks about the value and the power of note-taking and how to organize your brain better. And, you know, when we're listening to certain things, like podcasts or we're reading things and we're just kind of going through the motions. But then and we're like, oh, that's interesting, you know. But then there's those moments where it sparks something.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, like I really have found... try to focus in on those sparks because those are the nuggets that I want to keep. I got to get rid of all that other white noise of like, sure, okay, that's interesting, but it's not, unless it sparks an interest in me for something, I'm usually not going to write it down. And then that spark, depending on how big it is, will start its own note sometimes.
Sure.
Or I'll have it like filed into different, like I have a Hani whole file and then I have separate like director pieces. And then I have one for staff and I have one for like, back to basics. Mm-hmm. Cause you said that to me one time and it really stuck with me. It's just like strategic back to basic things to remember. So that's how I kind of organize my things, but yeah, it's that spark and storing it away later for the cold winter months.
Yeah. No, that's fantastic. Thank you for sharing that. So I would love to hear about what your understanding or mindset was around school culture before joining the program and kind of what you have done, because you've done so many things and I've been inspired by, you know, a lot of the shares that you've done in the way you've created relationships and culture and the way you've really just brought your team and community together. So I'd love to hear what it was like and what you thought culture was and kind of your journey and what it looks like now.
Yeah. So I think prior to joining the group, my understanding of culture really had a lot to do with people liking me and people, not talking bad about me, thinking, making, you know, saying I made the right choice, just really feeling liked. You know, that was, that to me said that I was doing a good job as a leader and that everybody was happy. And in the beginning of COVID, I was able to still maintain that value for them because I was paying them, you know, but it wasn't until probably, you know, towards the end of COVID that I wasn't always liked anymore. And I had to make a lot of difficult decisions. And it was getting talking to you guys, not just you, but Michelina and as well as other owners and going to the conferences. And those were amazing. The confidence to, you know, clear is kind. I know you always quote Brene Brown on that, but that's become pretty much one of my core values at this point because it just needs to happen. And again, that like cuts through the white noise. This is kind. And I'm so grateful to you for that because I've read Brene Brown 100 times, but for some reason through this group, when you've said that, it stuck. And it took me falling and floundering around a little bit to really figure it out. But I think just like there was like this pointing light with that group that kind of clear as kind, just do it. You got it. You can do it. That allowed me to keep pushing through.
Also. There's a self-trust that you have invested in yourself in the last 4 years, like really, really building kind of your own poker chips of like, I can do this. I believe in myself. I know I'm doing the right thing. Even if other people don't like me, this is the right thing. These are the values. And the more that you have invested in yourself, which, you know, is being part of this group and building that self-trust, it is so much easier to have these difficult conversations. So it's not, you know, it's still hard to have the hard conversation, but yes, you come into it with so much more poise and confidence and assurance that you're doing the right thing. And that's really what we want. We want our self-trust, not give me the template. No, I want to feel good when I'm doing the hard thing.
Yes, absolutely. That is a very good point. Prior to joining the group, before the pandemic and everything, there was a couple ladies talking about culture that the culture, we definitely had some mean girl syndrome going on. And I knew in my core what the right thing to do was. I knew that they had to go, that it was so hard to get them out because they had been there for so long. My mom fought me on it. I let one of them go, and my mom went behind my back and started a fundraiser for her. Like, I mean, it was like, it was devastating. These women, it was really, really difficult. And that was a little bit, you know, it was traumatic for me because I knew I had done the right thing. I truly felt that way, but it had seriously caused me a lot of pain. And then flash forward to literally the day before Thanksgiving, you know, Wednesday before Thanksgiving, I'm having a conversation with a staff member that's been giving me a hard time. And I knew in my gut, I thought I had to let her go. And then I sat together with my director and I said, there's just something inside of me telling me I need to give her one more shot. And so I showed her, confidence in a good way, not in a bad way, sure. But I said, hey, we'll just call her Jane. I was prepared. I just want to let you know, I was prepared to let you go today, but there's something inside of me saying that I want to see if we can fix this broken relationship. Here are the things that are the issues that we're seeing. What can we do about this? You know, this is my, I'm putting the ball into your court. Do you think we can fix this broken relationship? Never in a million years would I have been able to have that conversation 5 years ago. I would have been shaking and like.
That's to have a conversation like that. Yeah.
But I knew it was the right thing to do. And yeah, she was mad. Of course, she raised her voice at me and it was difficult. It was not pleasant, but I knew it was the right thing. So when she left, I was okay.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? I did the best that I could in that moment. I knew it was the right thing.
I want to unpack this here for a moment because I just think this is such an important learning moment here for you and for, you know, for everyone that's listening, in that sometimes we are looking for a tip, a trick, a strategy, but we keep hunting for this, like, and then if I do this, then everyone will like me and I'll get it perfect all the time. And, you know, I'll never make a mistake again. And, you know, everything will be easy. And we keep looking for this magic bullet. And what I talk about so much about being inside of Schools of Excellence is like, being here is not about me taking away all of the challenges of life. Life will always be challenging. Leading a school will always be hard. Being in this community is learning how to navigate the hard, how to make it a little bit more tolerable, learn how to sit in your own discomfort, like learn the real life skills that you need. And so I love that, you know, you shared the reality of like, no, I had this difficult conversation. It really was unpleasant. She raised her voice at me. She did all these things. And I still held my conviction. I still was able to sleep at night in peace, knowing I did the right thing. Like, it's such a win, Paige. Like, I'm so happy for you. I love that for you.
It really was a win. And there are times where life gets really busy and I can't make it to every call or I can't do every single resource. But again, back to what you were saying is it's not about the X, Y, and Z pieces. You know, that does help build confidence. So in the beginning, I think that is an important piece.
Oh, it's a huge piece
for the people
beginning.
Who are joining. Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Yes. Yes.
But and if you can, like, you know, stay true to the course, it's that higher level of just, it's almost like, it's like an enlightenment. I know that might sound kind of aggressive, but that's what it feels like to me. It's like, it's such a weight off my shoulders that I never really needed to have there to start with. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, and I have this group that supports me, and that flashes in my brain too when I'm having hard conversations, that I'm like, okay, I know I can reach back out. If there was something that felt icky or weird, I can actually go back out to this group and say, hey, what do you think about this? And the one of the other most valuable things I've gotten is that from you is sticking and embracing the discomfort. There was a story that you told, I think, once about a lobster. Is this ringing any bells?
About a what? You broke up for
a a lobster?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. That really stuck with
it.
Me.
We could say the story. We could share it over here. Yeah.
Yeah. So a lobster, before it can actually grow out of its shell and come into new, it actually has to sit in the discomfort. The shell doesn't get any bigger. It has to sit in there all cramped in there as it grows, and the shell does not grow. So it's super, super uncomfortable, and it buries itself in the sand, and it's so miserable until finally the shell can let go and it can grow a new shell. But it has to sit in that discomfort before it can be have a new shell and be and that growth happens. And we, as adults, especially in early childhood, we know, we understand that about children. We know that a baby has to go goo 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 before it can say, hi, my name is Paige. We get that. But when it comes to being an adult, we forget that that's still a part of growth. Just because we're not making these huge leaps, like from crawling to running, that we can see with our eyeballs, they're huge leaps, you know, emotionally and that, and from a maturity perspective, that hurts just as much and is hard just as much. And saying out loud and really understanding that you do absolutely have to sit in discomfort to grow. Period. End of story. Don't try to run away from it. It's not going to work. It's just part of it.
I think what's interesting here when it comes to not just learning how to sit in discomfort and learning how to do these hard things, the reason why you can build the capacity to sit in the discomfort is because you trust, you've built a level of trust that, you know, I'm not going to fall apart if I can, if I sit with this for a few moments, like I'm going to be okay. And the okayness comes from being surrounded by community, by knowing your self-worth and your value. So the reason, let's back up, like, why is it hard to sit in discomfort? It's hard because we're afraid we're going to fall apart. It's hard because we're afraid, well, if I sit in it, am I ever going to be able to get back up again? Like, we have all of these like notions that like, oh, if I sit in this, like I'll never get out of this. And that's false. And we all know that we're going to pull out of it, but we have to do it in the space of community, in that shared presence. So, and I'd love for you to speak to a little bit more of how you learning how to sit in that discomfort has not only impacted your quality of leadership, because the quality of questions that you bring forward, the quality of what you tolerate and don't tolerate in your school has shifted dramatically in the last 40 years, but how your discomfort sitting in that allows your team to do that, because that ripple effect is huge.
That's true. I think, well, for example, I'm just thinking of a certain staff member right now that has been up and down all around in terms of her growth and development. Good person, but just has a lot of personal growth to do. Mm-hmm. And my director has really been struggling working with her. So I said, let me take it off. Let me do it for you. And I'm sitting with her, I'm working with her, and it's not these meetings are different. I don't have a piece of paper in front of me with a bullet points about what I want her to improve on. These meetings are, tell me about, what are your core values? Like, what really drives you, Shannon? Tell me. And unpacking those things. And okay, have there been times at school, we're keeping it, you know, at school, where you feel that you haven't lived up to those values? Let's talk about those. And I also bring up my own personal stories as well in those conversations. Sure. So there are tears. It is a very uncomfortable conversation at times. But at the end, there's just a mutual respect of like, all right, that was tough. It's like after a good workout, you know, you're like, all right. And we hug it out and it's like, okay, let's hold each other accountable that we're going to do this again next week. Yeah. Please help me. And she's helping me just as much as I'm helping her, to be clear. But yeah, I think it's being able to sit in discomfort yourself as the leader in front of them. It makes them feel more comfortable to let their vulnerabilities out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so let's talk about, oh gosh, I have so many more questions here. So the vulnerability piece, I think, is hard, you know, and I often hear Brené Brown, you know, again, the queen of vulnerability, but she'll talk a lot about how sometimes we think we're being vulnerable, but we're actually doing like emotional vomit and just like sharing all of our insecurities with our people. And that's not vulnerability. And then I think sometimes we think we're being vulnerable, but we're doing it with like protective measures. So we're like kind of a little bit, but still being very discerning. And so people feel the like our weightedness. And so they're like, oh, I guess I also have to be super calculated about what happens here. And so when we're being vulnerable and we're sharing, the very nature of the conversation that you had is there's no direct outcome of the conversation. You're not coming in and saying, again, like bullet points or whatever it is, or coming in with tips and tricks of like, okay, go try these new things in the classroom now, or go do X, Y, and Z. You need the patience to have multiple conversations and peel the onion. Where do you get that patience from? Because I know many people are listening to this and saying, I can't do that. I don't have patience for that. The stakes are too high. I just need her to chop, chop and get moving. Where have you cultivated that patience?
I think it comes from really, truly wanting something enough and believing in something enough. Not just the superficial day-to-day things, but just like the really big mission and the meat of what I do is relationships, right? With kids, with adults, with parents. And so having the fact that I've through this group, truly, it's forced me in a lot of ways to slow down and have these types of conversations. Then it becomes more of a practice. And then you start seeing the true value in that. And once you get a taste of the value that can happen in those real conversations that aren't just bullet pointed and here's how to have a hard conversation with a parent, you know, like those are important, but I think it's actually sitting down and having them, you'll feel the value. You'll see it on the other side, but you just have to be willing to put in the work, take deep breaths, go for a walk, you know, whatever is gonna, like I have a whole lineup of podcasts that put me in the right headspace before I have those conversations. You can't just walk into it like right off of a argument with your husband, you know, it's like you have to be ready for it, which does make it more challenging because it's more than just a walk in and turn it on. It's okay.
But that's what capacity is. Like, this is what it means to have space. This is why leaders are craving time on their calendars and just the space, because you can't come into conversations like this when you're in a place of survival, which is why, you know, in the pyramid of excellence in survival, we don't talk about difficult conversations. I'm like, I got to get you out of survival. Here are all the things you can do so that when you're out of survival, that's when you can actually start doing all of these other things. But as long as you're in a state of survival, you're in self-preservation, you cannot think about anyone else or anyone else's mental and emotional well-being because you are literally trying to just have oxygen. Let's talk a little bit about what surprised you most or what continues to surprise you about, you know, being part of this group. Because there's like, you know, the original just like, hey, I want to be part of this community. But then there's all these like little surprises or interesting things that happen. I'm always curious because for every member, it's something different.
I think it still surprises me how when we're having a one-on-one conversation about whatever it might be, there are questions that really, really, really stump me. I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, I feel like I've known you long enough where I would think I know what you're going to ask, but no, I don't. and it never ceases to surprise me how you, have ability to get me to think about something in a different way. And for me, that's something I really admire about you. And I look up to personally. I think it's so cool that you can shift my perspective so quickly. The other thing, I guess I would say that really surprised, I don't know if surprises is the right word, but just like, this sense of like, just like fills my heart with joy is the community aspect. I'm getting emotional just thinking about it. Like I've never felt more at peace or like just so heard and understood than when I met those, like the summits or when I went around those people. It's so comforting to know that like there are other people going through the same things. And they're willing to listen and share the little nitty gritty things, but also like, I just want to call you and cry. You know, and it's huge. I mean, I think that would be probably, if you want to say surprising, it could be surprising because I think when you buy into a group, you think, oh, well, it's just a membership. I'll get rid of it after a couple of years. But no, it's more than that. You know, I think like a sorority, you know, and depending on how you feel about sororities, you know, you're paying for friendship. A lot of people say, well, that's not totally true, depending on which sorority you join, but it's a community. It's a lifeline. It's people that are there to help you grow and be better.
Yeah. So first of all, thank you. I accept all of those compliments. And I'm grateful that the community has been such a huge part of your journey. Because when I just backstory, like when I first, you know, started Schools of Excellence, a huge part of my mission was to create community because I saw it as such a void in the marketplace. And I grew up on the backs of community. Like this is like my whole life was around community. And so I really knew how to build it and knew how to design and knew how to cultivate it. But I didn't know if people were going to embrace it, if people were going to be like, yes, like I need this. I want friends. I want community. I want this. And so there was a lot of risk in starting this thing because no one had communities. And so the more that I saw that people were like really getting value out of it, we started to talk about it more. But again, it's still something that surprises people because it's still something that is a secondary need. Like, people come for the content, the coaching, the resources that we offer, but then they stay for the community and for, you know, all of those.
Absolutely. So, that's the nail on the head. Yep. You join for one reason, you stay for another.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know we're kind of running out of time here, but I have just a couple more questions here for you. So I'd love to hear about, now that you've been through multiple cycles in the program and used a lot of the different resources. So I'd actually love to hear, what are some of your new ambitions or goals that you've been able to start to put your sight on now that you are really out of a survival state?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because one thing that I also value is that I can go back to some of those survival things. So yes. I need to go back to my time tracking or time yes. blocking.
Yes, that's the foundation. We always go back to foundations. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So in the new year, I've just been recently kind of brainstorming about things. And that is one thing that I want to get back on track with. And because I do have a lot of big ideas now. Like, I've been trying to figure out how I can grow. Growth for me doesn't necessarily mean having 5 centers. Mm-hmm. Growth just means building my current community. And since I went to the Shift conference in the fall, mm-hmm. and I heard from Swim Gym with the swim school, I have a pool. So right now I'm really invested in trying to learn more about that.
Nice.
That idea. Yeah. And oh. how, what it would look like to incorporate that at our school. And
so that's another revenue source for the yes. company. Like, I love this, right? But your brain can't think about this stuff when you're in survival.
No.
You can't think about these things.
And my director said to me the other day, we were having a one-on-one, mm-hmm. and she was asking me kind of like very, I don't want to say trivial, but like just mm-hmm. little questions. And I said, Mary, I trust you. Like, you got it. You know, like, if you want me to, I'm here to talk to you, but you know, you don't need to ask my permission. You've got it. She's like, oh, okay. And she's like, so what are you up to? And I filled her in. She's like, how do you have time to do all that? I'm like, because of what I just said to you.
Yes.
You've got yes. it, Mary. That you're by you guys, you taking care of that, I'm able to think about how we can grow.
Yeah. So I love that for you. That's fantastic. So my mm-hmm. last question is here, as we kind of, and I've enjoyed this conversation so much, yeah. is for someone that's listening, for friends, for colleagues, for people that don't know you, but they're thinking like, hey, maybe I should consider joining. Maybe I should, you know, look at joining the owner's program or the director's inner circle. What would you say to them? Because again, people have so many hesitations, money being one of them, but also just the time commitment, the, I don't know if it's going to work for me. Like, everyone's got, you know, every hesitation under the sun. What would you say to someone who's listening?
I would bet my life on the fact that you will be grateful that you did this. I mean, because there's no doubt in my mind that you will be glad that you made the choice. If I understand it's a big money investment, but like I said, the reward far outweighs the investment. And it's not so scary. You can pick up and it's a community. You don't have to be at church every single day. You know, they're still there. So it's not so scary as people make it out to be. But you won't regret it. Just do it.
Just do it. There you go. Nike, yeah. Just do it. I love it. Paige, this has been really, really joyful to just connect and hear your story. So thank you for sharing.
Yeah, thank you, honey. I appreciate it. And I appreciate you and all you do.
Thanks so much for listening to my conversation with Paige. I hope that you were able to draw some inspiration for yourself as a leader, whether you were able to write down a couple of nuggets of things that you're like, oh, this is something that I can implement in my school. Or if you just got inspired by listening to Paige's story of where she started and where she is today. And if you are listening to this episode and you heard all the way until now, you're probably curious about our Owners HQ program and our Directors Inner Circle. These are our flagship programs of Schools of Excellence, where we help school leaders build and sustain Schools of Excellence, where they learn the tools, the resources, the mindset, the strategy, the community, the coaching, everything that you need to really become the leader that you always wanted to be. So if you enjoyed Paige's story and you're like, I want this in my life, I want that level of self-trust and confidence and the ability to make those kinds of decisions and the resources and tools and systems and community to support me in doing that, then click the link in the show notes, fill out an application. You and I will jump on a call. We'll connect. I'll let you know from the beginning if this is a right fit for you. You and I will connect and you'll be able to see, hey, this is the right time. This is the right season. And I'll let you know as well. Make this year the year that you invest in yourself, that you believe that you are worthy of becoming the leader that you always knew you could be. All right, check the link in the show notes.
If you are loving the Schools of Excellence podcast and have gotten any value out of it for your school, I would love if you can do two things for me. One, subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. And two, can you please leave us a review? Reviews help other school leaders know that this is the place to learn how to build a school of excellence. And I would be so grateful if you can do that for us. Your help and support makes this show to be able to be listened by the thousands of other school leaders all around the world. Thanks so much for listening, for giving us your time and attention each and every week. And I appreciate that you have joined us.